Hello and welcome to the Podcast of the Damned, where our horror commentary is so hot it comes straight from hell. I'm your host Ian, and joining me as always is my co-host Nico. How'd you like that new slogan, Nico?
I'm not laughing, honest.
you wait till the one at the end of the show.
Can you say it one more time for me?
Where our horror commentary is so hot, it comes straight from hell.
Yeah, I've got the penthouse room. That's right.
And we are not alone today. We are joined by a very, very special guest, but big, big friend, family of the show. It's Shaun of the Dead from the House That Screams podcast. How are you going, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm fantastic. I'm so happy to get you on the show. I'm no offense to your good lady wife, but I'm glad that we've got a chance to get you on the show on your own.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it, definitely.
Oh, Candy's going to kill me for that.
So mean, by the way.
No, I don't mean it in a bad way, but obviously, like, every single time, you know, we've done an episode together, be it for one of my shows or for the House That Screams, you know, obviously there's so many other voices in there, and I really was interested in just getting you, Shaun, on an episode by yourself, just so we can have some, just so we can have boys night, essentially.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I think
we leave you two alone.
I think my leash extends that far.
Oh, that's all right. That's... Anyways, it's great to have you here. This is episode number 33 of the Podcast of the Damned, and in today's show, we're talking about arachnophobia. But before we get into that, you can find us on all major podcasting platforms. We're on Twitter at DamnPodcast. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And you can email us at podofthedamned@gmail.com. Nico, where can people find you?
On Twitter.
How have you not remembered this very simple just Twitter handle yet?
Get me on Facebook, it's so much easier.
So you can find Nico on Twitter at Nico22Ross.
Yeah.
How do I find that so easy to remember and you don't?
Because I forget that I'm on it sometimes. Like, I was on it more this week than I have been any other week, and I was forgetting more.
Jesus Christ. Shaun, where can people find The House That Screams? Where can people find you across the socials?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Shaun of the Dead, and House That Screams is at @house_screams.
Awesome. The links to all of Sean's socials and the House That Screams socials will be in the description for this episode. Please go check that out. I think we've now had most of the hosts on this show at some point. I think we're only missing like one or two now, which I will rectify over the coming couple of months.
Yes, we will crack that whip.
And Erica's, every time I come on the show, Erica's like, you've not asked me yet. She's giving me that look down the camera.
I'm just hearing leashes and whips. I'm just wondering where this is going.
Oh, well.
You already know.
But Nico, what have you been watching this week? Anything good? Anything good in the horror sphere?
I've had more time to watch stuff this week than I've had all this year so far. So I've been playing Call of Duty.
Oh, nice! That's horrific.
If you'd seen some of the games I had, yeah, it definitely was.
Shaun, what about you? Watching anything horror related this week?
Yeah, man, we watch just random stuff all the time, but this week I have totally been consumed with Elden Ring.
Oh, I've been holding off on it for a couple, because I want to stream it, but I want to wait a few weeks for a lot of people to have had their playthrough of it, so I'm just biding my time. And luckily so far I've stayed spoiler free, but how are you finding it?
Man, let me tell you, I one time played a Dark Souls game, and this was years ago, the very first one, and I couldn't get past the first boss, and I said, fuck this shit, I'm never coming back. And I have never played another Dark Souls game, didn't play Bloodborne, and I watched my son, he got this last Friday when it came out, and I watched him all week play it, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking do it. And so I sat down Friday night, and I have just been sucked in this whole weekend.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm very similar to you. I played the first Dark Souls years and years ago, and much like you, got to the first boss, and I was like, "Fuck this shit!" Like, this is ridiculous. And then, about maybe a couple of years ago, I went and played Dark Souls 3, and yeah, obviously it's still ridiculously difficult. I think that's probably the most user-friendly of the Dark Souls games, though. And I just had an absolute blast, and I've went through and played the rest of them. So I'm super, super stoked to finally get into Elden Ring. But I think I'm just gonna wait another week or two, and then I might take a week off work.
Yeah, you're gonna need it too.
Probably, I can imagine.
After
Anyways,
what you are saying at the start, you're not getting any weeks off work.
well, yeah. With the way things are going, it might be a while before I get weeks off work. I'm sure. You know what? I don't need sleep.
Oh yeah, that's
Yeah,
true.
it's overrated.
Right, shall we talk about today's episode topic then?
Let's do it.
Excellent. We are talking about arachnophobia.
The Jennings family has just moved to the small town of Canaima.
Oh, Ross, smell that air.
Oh, God.
In search of a simpler life.
Want a blow up a bullfrog?
Okay.
It's the perfect place.
Goodbye crime, goodbye grime.
Except for one pesky little problem.
Come with me and look at the web.
The web?
I have a terrible fear of spiders.
Come on, we live in the country now. It's time to work through this irrational, paralyzing terror.
It's not irrational.
Hollywood Pictures and Amblin Entertainment present Jeff Daniels.
Honey, we're in the living room. To kill a spider.
And John Goodman.
Bill McClintock, infestation management.
My guy's just a spider.
Would anybody object if I tore this floor out?
I would.
False alarm, then leave on. There's no spider here.
Every so often in a little town somewhere, there is a health scare.
There's a rumor going around that some kind of spider might have killed Sam Metcalf.
Doubtful.
Spiders make convenient culprits.
There's no spider here.
I think one of your Venezuelan spiders hitched a ride here.
There may be some spiders around here that are very dangerous.
Yeah, chill out.
Just run.
They spread out from a central nest in a web-like pattern and dominate the entire area. When that happens, this town is dead.
Better in court by private stock.
Hollywood Pictures and Amblin Entertainment present Arachnophobia. 8 legs, 2 fangs, and an attitude.
Perk up, Lloyd. If we find the spider that did this, you can arrest him.
Arachnophobia. A thrillomedy.
This movie was released in 1990, was directed by Frank Marshall, and stars Jeff Daniels, Julian Sands, and John Goodman. The IMDb plot is as follows. A species of South American killer spider hitches a lift to the US in a coffin and starts to breed and kill. Tagline for this movie, 8 legs, 2 fangs, and an attitude. It's a bit like you, Nico.
8 legs.
8 legs. I don't know. That's the only part that's like a little bit iffy there.
I was thinking, I'm like, 8 legs?
We'll just go with 3.
Yeah.
No one's ever said that to Nico before.
They have, but they were being sarcastic.
Okay, so before we get into the discussion, Nico. Usual question for you, where do you think arachnophobia is going to land on the leaderboard?
See, I actually like this. I would like this to be quite high up, I'm not going to lie.
So this is the 32nd movie we've covered.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be round about 11, 12.
So just outside top 10. So that would put
just
it
outside.
In around things like Gremlins, the original Child's Play, Doctor Sleep. So you're talking,
yeah, that's somewhere exactly what I'd like it to.
Somewhere in the region of a 7 to a 7.5 is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we shall see. Sean, I'm assuming this is a movie that you had seen before.
Yes, this is something I saw when I was a kid.
And did it scare the shit out of you?
You know, it didn't scare the shit out of me, but it definitely gave me the creepy crawlies.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it, about this movie? Because when you sit and watch it, this, I don't think this is, obviously, you know, for there are people out there who maybe are deathly afraid of spiders, and this is just the most terrifying thing in the world. I don't, for me personally, I don't find this a particularly scary movie, but yeah, it's that thing, isn't it? Like, it gives, you know, when like the hairs stand up on the back of your neck, and sometimes you feel like there's maybe something crawling on you. It gives you that experience, doesn't it, for the entire film?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially when you get closer to the end, and they just come out in droves.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Nico, I'm also assuming that you had seen this before.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, so.
It has been a while since I've seen it as well, but I really remember it quite fondly. I first watched it when I was a kid, and it was my parents that showed it to me. Possibly when I was about 10 or 11. So it had been just at the turn of the millennium. And, you know, it scared me as a kid, but it was more that sort of... And I do blame this for my arachnophobia throughout pretty much my entire childhood. I blame this movie.
See, like you said, it's not really scary. There's no real jump scares or anything like that. There's nothing terrifying in it unless you're scared of spiders. I think it's like one of those, like, show your kids it, because I quite enjoyed it, but I was like, it's not scary, it's not terrifying.
Do you think this is a good gateway horror film for a younger audience?
Yeah, because it's like, I know it's like the next stage up from Hocus Pocus, basically.
Oh, like the next step on the ladder. You open it up with Hocus Pocus, and then you show them Arachnophobia.
Like Arachnophobia and Gremlins, you show them them at the same time, you know what I mean?
That's fair. Oh, would you go along with that, Sean? Do you think this is a good gateway horror film?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. How do you guys feel in general about bugs and spiders and things? Like, as I said, for me, growing up, I was pretty terrified of them, and even now, like, I still don't really like them very much, but I can tolerate them a whole lot more. How do you guys feel about them, Sean?
Well, I came into this, you'd given me a list of films to choose from, and a lot of the ones that you listed, we had either already covered on House That Screams, or they're scheduled. And Arachnophobia is just one that has always flown under the radar with us. Much more comedy than it is horror. So, you know, it never really got brought up. And so when I saw that, I wanted to jump on it, but I'm actually kind of qualified to talk about this. We have a particular type of spider here in the, US called a brown recluse. And those things are venomous as fuck. And I've been bitten twice.
Oh, fuck.
Both times had to go to the hospital. And they secrete like a necrotic venom, so it eats away at the flesh and the tendons. And yeah, that was fucking horrible. So yeah, I'm uniquely qualified. I am not scared of spiders. I do not have arachnophobia. I actually had a tarantula as a pet when I was a teenager. But when you start getting into bugs, creepy crawly like maggots and shit, yeah, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I love the name of that spider, so brown recluse.
yeah, and they also call it a fiddleback. Its back is shaped like a violin.
Oh,
cool.
That's so cool. Like this is the thing.
That's a cooler name.
I find them fascinating. I think there's some really beautiful species out there, and I just find them fascinating, but. You know, I like you said, you obviously had one as a pet when you were younger. I couldn't go that far. But also at the same time, you know, Nico, we live in a country where, what's the worst kind of spider that we got over here? Just a generic house spider.
Daddy long legs.
A daddy long legs.
I read somewhere, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I read somewhere that the daddy long legs is like one of the most venomous spiders on the planet.
But they don't have
fangs or something.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, it's like, how much is that a fucking evil trick? I'm going to make you the most poisonous spider in the world. You'll look like a fucking bell end, and we won't make it fucking come out of you, but you'll be there. It's there.
So according to spiders.edu, which I've just quickly looked up on the internet, daddy long legs are one of the most poisonous spiders, but they do have fangs, but they're just too short to bite humans. So do you think all this time, they're just like, when they like fly about your head, they're just desperately trying to bite us, but failing miserably?
They're like, die, fucker, die! And you're just like, nah, get one.
See, that's kind of like me in real life. Like, I'm dangerous as fuck. I'm just too short to do anything.
You're not one of those that you put your hand on the head and go, come on, keep going, keep going. And you're just stroking your elbow.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Nico, how are you feeling about bugs and creepy crawlies and all that?
Oh, I'm fine with bugs and creepy crawlies. Well, I've ate a live scorpion, so that was gross. But yeah. I'm not really fussed with them at all, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I just find it really interesting because, you know, you can go so far on the spectrum. There are people who can't even be, you know, in the same house as the spiders. And there is a few scenes in particular in this movie that we'll get to, you know. So let's dive into the movie. And I want to talk about this whole sort of opening scene that we get. I don't know about you guys, I kind of got really heavy Jurassic Park vibes from this opening scene. You know, like they're going on an expedition, you know, they're trying to find, obviously it's slightly different, but they're trying to find these creatures. I kind of just got Jurassic, I don't know about you, maybe that's just me and my brain making the weirdest fucking connections. But
well, no, because they mentioned dinosaurs as well, don't they? They're like, oh, we'll find a T-Rex or something like that up there. They say something along that line.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, they do.
I think they do, yeah. So... I did kind of get that, but anyways, what I really want to talk about is, at what point in this opening scene are you noping the fuck out of there? Sean, when are you noping the fuck? Because for me, it's when I walk into that big, when he walks into that spider's web, that's it for me. Like, I need to go home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, you're going up there with this, you know, indigenous local, this guide. And when he gets to a point to where he's like, oh, no, I stop here. I don't go any further. That's when I'm like, you know what? Neither do I. I'm with him.
That's a smart move. That could possibly be the smartest move anyone in a horror movie could make.
Yeah, and I'm definitely on the other end of the scale. I'd be like, okay, see you later.
Yeah, Nico.
Yeah,
Nico, you're dying first, okay?
See, I don't think I would, because I'd be that scummy bastard that throws somebody into the stranger to get out of it. So I'd survive towards the end and get my comeuppance. So I'm fine.
You think you'd make it to the end of a horror movie?
Oh no, I wouldn't make it all the way to the end, but I'd make it near the end.
You'd make it to the end of the opening scene, you mean?
You know how you've always got that guy that's the bad guy that's like, fucking, oh, you can't wait for him to get it. That's me.
Fair enough.
And they always keep them towards the end. It's like they get their comeuppance at that point.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things we normally do in this podcast, and you know, Nico, you know about this, is we'd sort of talk about what our favorite and least favorite sort of kills are in the movie. The problem I have with this movie is that all the kills are the same. They're all spider bites. Is that? I think they actually are all spider bites. I don't think there's any others. Unless I'm forgetting about one, but they're all spider bites, so I'm not really going to ask that question. But
if there was something other than a spider bite in a movie called Arachnophobia, there'd be something wrong, wouldn't there?
Well, no, but there might be something that happens and someone gets like inadvertently killed. That happens all the time. Michael Myers doesn't kill every single person in the Halloween movies that dies.
True, but Arachnophobia, what's going to happen? The spider's going to come up and go, stick him up, punk, with a shotgun. It's not going to happen, is it?
With that old-timey, nah, stick him up, boys.
Exactly. Comes out with a cowboy hat on and a shotgun. Yes. Come on.
Just a revolver in six of its legs.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyways, one of the things I want to sort of ask you, how do you feel about this whole sort of opening scene as a method to set up this film? Because I feel like the tone of this opening scene is incredibly different to the tone of the rest of the film. Does it work for you guys? How do you just sort of feel about it overall? Nico?
I forgot about it, but when I sat down to watch this, I thought it started at the house, you know? And I'm like, him moving to the country, you know. And then when this opening scene happened, I'm like, how did I forget about this? Like, I had to watch it twice, you know. So it's one of those scenes. It sets up good, but you'll probably forget about it in a month or two.
Fair. Now, Sean, how do you feel about
it? I loved it. I thought the music that they used over it, the score was really good. The establishing shots were absolutely beautiful. And it just kind of gives you that vibe, like, you know, we're in a place that most people don't venture. And, you know, I thought it set it up really well. And Julian Sands, oh my God, swoon.
But he plays the same character every time. Like, this just is pretty much like what he's like in Warlock, except a good version.
I'm telling you now, I'm throwing down the gauntlet. You guys ever want to do Warlock, I'm your guy.
Okay. it's settled.
Next week,
Yeah. No, seriously though, I thought the opening scene worked really well. You know, you had like that little bit of comedy from our Manly character, Manly. And I still can't get it. Like, I forgot that was his name, Manly. But but yeah, no, I thought it worked really well. But the transition from that into small town America was kind of jarring.
Yeah, because it goes from this sort of big, massive, sort of really picturesque, really historical sort of location, you know, full of nature, and then, like you say, you go to white picket fence America, don't you? And it's a total 180. But this is obviously, and this first scene lasts for quite a while as well. I think it's somewhere, it's in like 20 odd minutes, I think, this opening scene's. So I'm calling it the opening scene, but it's not really the one scene, because, you know, it takes up an actual good portion of the movie. And then only then are we introduced to Jeff Daniels, who, I don't know about you guys, and I know Jeff Daniels has done many great serious acting roles in his career, but I mean, I still can't look at him and just not think of Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, I know.
But when you're watching this, you're not thinking of Dumb and Dumber, you know?
Oh, I was thinking of Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
I'm sure this was out before it.
Was this out before Dumb and Dumber? I think it probably was. It was mid-90s, I think, Dumb and Dumber. But even... So when this first came out, obviously you weren't thinking of it. Yeah, Dumb and Dumber was 94. But watching it now, that's all I can think of. But anyways, I really like... my point is, like, I really like Jeff Daniels, and I think this is kind of like that perfect role for him, especially at this sort of stage in his career, because he's playing it like half the straight guy, but also a little bit of comedy thrown in there as well with his fear of spiders. I actually think he plays this really, really well.
Yeah, but same again, he played this character in everything, because, like, what was it, the butcher's wife and stuff like that? It's pretty much the same character, just in a different location. He definitely got typecast back then, put it that way.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt. How do you feel about Jeff Daniels' overall sort of performance, Sean?
Yeah, I think he did good. I think, you know, with that comedy aspect, he works great. Now, if this was going more of the Jaws route, if it was going to be a more serious film, I don't think it would have worked out so well.
Yeah, definitely. And it's one of those things, because I feel like sort of animal horror, if you will, if for lack of a better term, monster horror sort of thing, can only really sort of go one or two ways. You go ultra serious or you throw in the comedy. And how many times have we seen the comedy aspects of things just not work at all? But I really do feel like overall in this movie, they really do tread that line pretty smartly. And we'll talk about it in a moment, but particularly with John Goodman's character, who I think is just... I mean, I love John Goodman as well. I think he's absolutely not the centerpiece, but he is the absolute best possible comedy relief that you could have in this movie. I still feel like people like Jeff Daniels does a really good job of treading that line as well. But
they play off each other really well.
They do, but come on, I don't know about you guys, but I was sort of rolling in my seat laughing at John Goodman's character.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because when I watched this when I was younger, I actually thought he was funnier then. He's still funny. His scenes are still funny, but I got more of a kick out of it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still a child in the head, to be honest. I still found him absolutely hilarious, but I don't know. There's just something about this. There's something about this movie that I just find completely likable. And, you know, we kind of very briefly talked about Texas Chainsaw Massacre when I came on your show the other week, Sean. And one of the big problems I have with that is that it's so unlikable. The people in it are so unlikable. Whereas here, I'm really rooting for these people. You know, these people are making me laugh. They're actually making me feel positive emotions about them, which is what they should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Right, so we'll move on to a few sort of questions about the film and things like that. Overall, I want to talk about the special effects in this, because obviously there aren't a lot, and most of what we get come in that final confrontation between Ross and the general. So I want to get your thoughts about just how you felt that whole... I know I'm jumping forward a bit, and we will jump back and forth a wee bit, but how you felt about how that whole sort of final scene was constructed and how it looked. Nico?
I quite liked the special effects in this movie, and I quite liked that bit, but the bit I'd just like to go back to is I quite liked the mummy. The mummy looked quite good. Like, I've seen a lot worse in horror movies, put it that way.
The mummy?
Aye. As in like, when the guy...
I thought you were talking about the movie. I was like, what are you talking about?
I know, I was like scratching my head for a second. I'm like, are we talking about a different film now?
I was like, Nico, you're going to need to explain this one. As in Manly's corpse in the coffin?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, no, like, I thought that looked pretty good, too.
I quite liked it.
Yeah, I thought
it looked really well.
But we could talk about effects in the overall as well. We don't have to just limit it to the final scene, Nico. Like, is there anything else? You know, you talk about that, but any other pieces that sort of stood out for you for good or bad reasons?
I liked the bit where the spider goes flying into the nest and sets all on fire. That was quite cool. But because the way it starts curling in, like the legs start curling in itself. And I'm like, yeah, I quite like that. And then it was like, I'm like, I'd try eating that. And
well, what about just the general in the final sort of confrontation? Because there's a few points in there where it's very clear that it's either something that's remote controlled or there's a stick pushing it along or whatever. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, there is one bit where you see the legs bouncing and it's not even touching the ground; it's moving towards it. That is quite funny. But that's when he gets the nail gun. You know, it's setting up for that. That's why they're going to have to lift up at that point.
Yeah,
but at least it's practical effects.
Well, isn't it?
Well, back in the 90s, they were trying to go special effects with everything, you know.
Well, that was it as well, because, you know, we're obviously a big proponent of practical effects. I know, Sean, you're also a big proponent for practical effects as well. And when you have been enjoying a movie so much up until this point, you do be more forgiven for these things. So, Sean, how did you feel about the special effects in the overall and in this final scene and the battle with the general?
Well, I agree with Nico. I think the desiccated corpse that we get at the beginning with Manly looked really fucking good. And going towards the end with that final battle, you know, both the spider that gets electrocuted and the spider that gets set on fire at the egg sac, like they both like do that, like you said, the curling, but then they pop and you see like that thick viscous fluid like drip out. And the one thing that I love in a lot of these movies that we cover are the nasty ooey gooey bits. I've talked about before the pus scene in Dead Alive where the pus goes in the soup or the custard, and oh, it makes me sick every time I watch it. But so yeah, we get some ooey gooey in this. The funny thing with the animatronic thing is, you know, like he also said, you can see the point where the legs don't touch the ground.
Yeah.
And it's kind of rolling across the floor. But I like how they intersplice that with scenes of actual spider. You know, so it's kind of, you're kind of using that movie magic smoke and mirrors thing where it's like, you know, we're going to film up close with the real spider and then the further away shots are going to be this, you know, remote controlled spider, which has an interesting story behind it. I didn't know if you were going to bring that up, Ian.
No, feel free. Go ahead.
The animatronic spider was created by Jamie Heineman from Mythbusters. This is one of his first on-screen animatronic works.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I did read that fact. Nico, I'm not sure if you were aware of that.
Yeah, it was quite cool, I thought.
I think that's an awesome little piece of trivia.
But I think the funny thing is like, you know, you watch something like Jaws and, you know, the animatronic shark they used there and compare that with the animatronic spider they used in this. And there's like really no comparison between the two.
Yeah, there's miles of difference. Like the animatronic spiders, you can see it moves quite, even when the legs aren't touching the ground, it's moving like what a spider would do. The legs are moving in perfect sync with each other. But the only difference is it's not touching. So, yeah, it is quite cool.
Yeah, I think so. I really enjoy all the effects in this movie because, well, you know, when I was doing my research for this film, there were sort of two main criticisms of it, you know, because usually what I do, and I know you do the sort of negative reviews of things for House of Scream, Sean, and obviously I sort of trawl through those when I'm doing movies. And there was two common themes, one of which was that the special effects hadn't aged well, which I'm not really... I don't agree with at all. And the other one just was that the movie was boring and too long, and I don't agree with that either, because I think pacing wise, I think this movie's pretty cool. Like, you get that really sort of long opening scene, and what that does for me is it really sort of shortens the rest of the movie down a little bit to the point where there's always something happening. And every single scene in this film, I think, has a level of tension that maybe you just don't find in other horror movies, because almost every single scene, you know that there's a spider lurking about somewhere. And we get to see all of those little near misses, you know, the moments where it almost bites the little girl in the foot, or, you know, it just jumps out behind from a curtain, or you can see it when the girl's having a shower, you know. And I think that's one of the things that this movie does do really well, is have that sort of low undercurrent of tension throughout the entire film.
I love that shower bit, because like, who hasn't had that, the spider on the shower just dropping on your face, you know?
I haven't had that, and if I've did that, I would probably fall and break my neck.
But the hilarious thing about that scene is the sister screams, the dad comes in, she's completely fucking naked. The dad turns his head, and then here comes the brother, and he's fucking staring too.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say.
Yeah. Well, I know on your last episode you guys were talking about the brother sister love, so
yeah. Just a little bit wrong.
I had actually forgotten about that.
It's like I also like the way that it teases like it's going to break the PG thing. So like, if you were a teenager, you'd be loving this, because it's just the way the spider drops between her boobs.
Oh, yeah, actually, it's like, yeah. Oh, are you gonna get that bit of nip, a little bit of nip, or not? And then no, you don't.
No, I'm sorry. The part that broke the PG-13 thing for me was when Jeff Daniels' character goes into the high school to do the physical on all the teenage boys, and he doesn't put any fucking gloves on.
That was literally, I have that in my notes.
I actually had to rewind it and rewatch it, because I was like, maybe I missed the part where it showed his hands and he had gloves on. No, he straight fucking barehanded that shit.
They cut
the scene when he sniffs it.
God, that's, I hope in his the, hands, that's in I hope the, he, the I hope DVD he warmed actions. His hands up.
I don't think he did that either. I don't think so.
But after the first two, he's hard to be warm anyway.
Well, that's fine, because there's about, what, 20 of them? Anyways. So that's one of the things that I sort of feel is really well done in this film, is that sort of undercurrent of tension. How do you guys feel about those criticisms that are sort of leveled? Because it was very much overwhelmingly the common theme that I noticed in terms of special effects didn't age well, and they found it long and boring. Nico, I'm assuming you disagree with both of those.
Yeah, I definitely disagree with that. Like, don't get me wrong, that first bit of the scene before you get the corpse and everything sent abroad, I did forget about that, I'm not going to lie. So they could have done without that, wouldn't have affected the movie really that much.
Yeah.
But apart from that, yeah, the special effects I thought were pretty good. Like, even those, like, little ones, the little spiders where they're running about, that just look like household spiders, you know, the half-breed ones. Yeah. Like, they genuinely look like they could actually poison you. So it's, like, quite cool.
Excuse me, apologies. Sean, I'm assuming you kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I think the special effects, you know, what little we had held up well. I especially like the scene where John Goodman's character Delbert is spraying the spiders and they start smoking.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool. And as far as pacing goes, or should I say the boring factor, I don't think so. I think, you know, especially when he calls Julian Sands' character. And he sends his lackey, for lack of a better term, and he shows up, and they start searching through the house. Like, it kind of gets pretty intense, you know, because none of them know where this spider. I mean, if you've ever like seen a spider and then tried to find it after you've lost view of it, that fucker could be anywhere. That's like Schrodinger's spider, and. So for all these guys to like go around looking for the spider that they all know can kill you in one bite, and for the dumbass bumbling cop to find it in the fucking cereal box.
Yeah, the dead one, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, I quite liked it when the spider jumped at him as well and he moved out of the way. That was quite cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. And then you have that whole interaction about how Jeff Daniels' character, he can't move, he's paralyzed with fear, and the other guy's kind of sneaking up on it with the glass and... It kind of gets tense there for a bit.
Yeah.
Especially when he's like, you're going to have to do it because I've caught its attention, basically. So yeah. It's as if it's a cobra, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You're going to have to grab it from the back of the hood. You know, just, it's that type of thing. It was quite cool, I thought.
I agree with both of you. So obviously, this isn't the only spider-based movie that's out there. Do you guys think there's a spider villain movie that's done it better?
No, not like this. Like, you've got Eight-Legged Freaks, which goes totally the opposite way and just makes it funny as hell. And like, that's all right, but it is a comedy. It's not scary.
Yeah, I actually quite like Eight-Legged Freaks. It's one of those.
It's not saying it's bad. I'm just meaning. You've got this, which is slightly more serious, but still has comedy effects. Whilst Eight-Legged Freaks, you can't take any of that serious because there's no jump out scares or anything with that either.
I feel like in other movies where you've got sort of spiders, they tend to go giant mutant spiders, don't they?
Yeah.
And one of the things I do appreciate about this is that they kind of kept it small scale, but still kind of terrifying at the same time. Because, you know, you're talking about, you know, the smaller sort of spiders, but those small spiders are just as deadly as the general, you know, that just
they get the most kills.
They get, I think, they, does the general get, what does the general get? Does the general only get one kill?
But those small, like, well, because they're like ants, and it's like a queen and a king and all that sort of stuff, because it's mentioned upon more than once, because the small ones don't have reproductive organs. Those ones are basically, it's like that weirdos that were dragging corpses back in Slither. You know what I mean? It's like those type of things.
Yeah.
They're basically there to get the food for fucking those ones to reproduce, basically.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that will get the most kills.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's those small spiders for me are what has caused me to, as a child at least, be very terrified of lampshades, be very terrified of shower curtains, of bathroom drains. That scene where they're all like coming out of the sink and all the plugs, that's the shit for me that's terrifying in this film.
But there's U-bend, that would never happen.
Yes, but suspension of disbelief, Nico.
Yeah. Yeah, it does kind of go overboard when they start coming out of the fucking drains and shit, but you know, this is one of those films that you watch it and then for the next week, you're looking around. It's like the bedroom scene with him where he's laying in bed and he sees that shadow on the wall.
Oh, I've done that.
Yeah.
I've 100% done that. I threw a shoe at it and it turned out to be a real spider. So I shot myself. Sorry, Nico, was you going to say something?
Oh, no, I just burped. Sorry.
Oh, excellent. Well, I'm really glad I highlighted that for our listeners.
I genuinely thought I got away with that, to be honest. I had my mouth covered out and I didn't have time to mute my mic. I'm like, oh, I've got to wait. No.
There are a couple of moments in this movie where, it very nearly goes too far into the comedy aspect. And one of them, going back to that final confrontation, is when the spider starts screaming when it gets set on fire.
Yeah.
Probably the worst offender for me in this movie in terms of kind of taking me out of it.
Yeah, the hissing throughout the film. Now, tarantulas or, you know, spiders of that size, they will hiss, but I don't necessarily know if they do it every 5 fucking minutes. And so it was like after like the 10th or 12th time that spider hissed, I was like, okay, let's give it a fucking rest.
Yeah.
But don't they just hiss as a defense? So it doesn't make sense for them to hiss because basically they're silent predators. They will attack. They're only doing that when it's defensive. And at no point in this they're really defensive. Like when it's screaming, when it's on fire, that would be defensive. That makes sense. But every other time...
Well, maybe
time
not, maybe
like,
not nah. screaming like that, though.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Help me, I'm on fire!
It makes more sense than making a noise then because it's like, well, I'm fucked. Like, I'm pretty sure if I set you on fire, you'd be screaming.
No, mate, I would no sell it.
No sell it.
Just no sell it, slowly being burned alive.
Hi, little shit. Fucking, my cat just attacked my foot. Anyway, right. So.
That's because you whipped that blanket off him.
I know.
I told you.
The listeners won't know about that, but
No, that was before we went live incident. One last thing for me, and then I'll open things up to you guys, and you can have the floor for a little bit if you've got anything else. And, you know, we've kind of talked about the sort of comedy aspects of this film. How do you guys think this movie would have worked had they gone in the other direction and made this a much more serious film and went sort of more straight horror? So maybe taking out, like, the John Goodman character, for example.
I think it would have still worked, but they've had to change a lot of it.
Like what?
Like, well, they... Like, for example, you wouldn't have had any of the John Goodman part. It would have to be done serious. It would have to be done by somebody that was, like, a proper, like, oh, yeah, I've been exterminating... You know, like, in Jaws, where it's like, I've been killing sharks for years. I've been killing fucking spiders for years. You know, all that sort of shit.
Yeah, that could be done.
But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It would work, but you couldn't have the same actors in it, I don't think. It wouldn't have worked that way if it was serious.
How do you feel, Sean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. You know, your John Goodman character would have to be your Quint, and he would have to be, like, you know, deadpan serious, hardcore, you know, a vendetta. Spider killed his wife. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah,
and you couldn't.
He
and
took
you couldn't
the kids. He took the wife.
He raised that spider since it was just a little, like, penny sized spider into a full size hand spider, and then that's when it killed his wife.
He's turned the Wayans against us. No, I agree with you. I think it would have been interesting to get a more sort of serious version of this, but, you know, I love the John Goodman character so much. I just really kind of want to get your thoughts on that. I'll open it up to you guys if you've got anything else that you really want to sort of get into before we move on. Nico, have you got any other aspects or scenes or anything to do with this movie at all that you want to touch upon?
No, it's all, like, I enjoyed it. A lot more than I thought I would, put it that way.
I thought that was I enjoyed it.
Aye, well, I was going at this thinking, I can't mind. I genuinely thought this was, like, quite shit when I was younger, to be honest. And when I rewatched it, I'm like, it's not as bad as I remember.
Yeah, fair enough. Sean, any other aspects, scenes, moments that you want to touch upon before we move on?
I do. I want to talk about the beautifully backlit romantic encounter we get between the two spiders. It's very brief. But, you know, I was coming into this and I was going to make a joke about sticking a skyscraper through a hula hoop because the size of those spiders were... I'm like, there's no fucking way. But because it's Podcast of the Damned, I had to dive in and do some research on this. And so this is Arachnology of the Damned today.
Excellent.
And I found out that how spiders actually mate, and I didn't know this. So our larger spider, the general, he would have practically wanked off in a fucking web and then stuffed it inside of her.
Is that not how you do it?
That's not how I did it. Maybe I've been doing it wrong this whole time, but
I feel so sorry for Kari.
Well, listen, each to their own, Nico, each to their own.
Right, the hole, you made it to throw it up there, does it?
Oh.
I'm sure there's a fetish out there somewhere.
There's people out there somewhere just throwing it against the wall, you know?
No, I'm not even going to say that on here. Right, anyway.
Say it!
Well, there's a person beyond you, though, Ian, who decided to go into, shall we say, specialist entertainment, shall we say.
I'm pretty confident they're not listening to this podcast.
Yeah. So she told me that she went home with the punter because he said that he wanted to basically wank with her feet and just come on her like leg. She got paid like 250 quid for that. I'm like, that's mental. That's fucking mental. And I just got a mental image of that.
I would take 250 quid for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I might do it
for 50, to be honest.
I genuinely, I couldn't do that, no.
No, nah, but
I think I'd vomit.
Just to drag us kicking and screaming back to the original point, because as tangents go, that's quite a big one.
Because it's just when you're saying it wanks off, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably the anyway.
But it was going back to what I was saying earlier, because I find all this stuff about spiders really, really fascinating. I just find them like such interesting creatures, but I just don't want to get up close and personal with them. So, no, I think that's fascinating.
Have you held, like, a tarantula, right?
I have, yes. That's what I'm saying, like, I can cope with them, I can hold them, but I just, it's more the movement, it's more the out of sight, where the fuck are you in my house, are you going to try and, am I going to wake up and you're going to be on my face, you know, are you going to jump at me when I open this curtain kind of thing that bugs me. If it's a spider and it's, you know, a docile tarantula or something, that's fine. Like, I can cope with that, I can hold that, but I don't know, there's two sides to spiders.
But yeah. I remember when I was younger, because we used to get proper winters here, you'd see spiders in your house all the time during wintertime, because they'd come in and try and get hot, obviously, come in from the cold type thing, you know?
Yeah.
And now you don't see them as much as what you used to. Like, I remember when I was a kid, there'd always be one in one of the rooms somewhere, there'd always be a cobweb somewhere that had just formed that night, yeah. Or because my mother was clean, you know, and you'd see one form overnight and it would just be a little web, and I'm like, well, that's gonna fucking disappear, but you'd never see the spider, you know. Yeah. So it is genuinely, see, that's the creepy thing about these, they're silent, they're, you never know where they are, and they're gonna fucking get you if they really want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, last call, guys, then. Anything else before we move on?
No.
Okay, then, let us go on to our next segment, and we're going to talk about some trivia.
I'm sure if we bashed your head in, all sorts of secrets would come tumbling out.
This movie had a budget of $22 million, according to IMDb, which was significantly more than I thought it was going to have.
Yeah, same.
22, I think it's quite big. But it did gross worldwide $53.2 million, so great success.
I do remember they were always talking about there was going to be a sequel, but I don't think it ever came out, did it?
You know what? I'm kind of glad. I'm glad that this is just like standalone horror movie, no sequels, no remakes, just it's there.
You hating spiders that much, are you?
No. It's nothing to do with that at all. It's just like, you know, and you guys both know that I'm the give remakes a chance guy, give the sequels a chance guy, but you know, I like the fact that this is just there, and here we are. I mean, this is now, what, 32 years old, this movie? And, you know, we're still talking about it. You know, it's not relied on having sequels. It's not relied on having reboots and remakes to keep it relevant. It's still relevant. And it's one of the things about this horror movie, because it's a fear that will always be held by the human race, by a large proportion of the human race. So for me, this is a horror movie that will always be relevant.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyways, sorry, Nico.
No, I'm saying fair enough, but I just don't get the fear of spiders. I've never got it. I don't know why.
That's because you don't have it.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
So we talked about the small spiders earlier. The spiders they used in the film were Avondale or Avondale spiders. They're a harmless species from New Zealand. They were provided by a research centre in Auckland, and despite their fierce appearance, the spider is a docile member of the crab spider family and is in fact harmless to humans. So there's your explanation.
What do they normally eat?
I didn't find that out. You can do some research for next week's show.
Nah, it's all right.
The giant spider, however, used in the film was a species of bird-eating tarantula, which can attain a leg span of 8 inches or more. These types of tarantulas are not easily to handle and can give a nasty bite. What is the biggest, like, I'm not up on sort of spiders of America and that. What's like the biggest sort of spiders you guys get?
Well, I do know that there are tarantulas more southwest, maybe like around Texas, stuff like that. None that I've ever seen. I've seen some common, we have a common house spider here called a wolf spider, and they kind of look similar to tarantulas, but not quite that big. Mm-hmm. But we've seen some fucking big ones here.
Yeah, I bet. Nico, we get relative, but we don't get big spiders, you know, not like those motherfuckers you see down in Australia.
Oh my god.
Like here, they're all legs, all bandy little fuckers. They're like no body and just like lanky legs.
Yeah. That's the reason I can't go to that country, by the way.
Cannot. Yeah, you see those videos on YouTube where, you know, they find one on the wall and they go to hit it with a broom and it fucking jumps at them, like,
oh,
that.
Oh, no, that is a burn it with fire type of scenario for me.
Yeah.
No way, no fucking chance.
Yeah, it's like in this film, he had a whole house full of spiders and that's what it took for him to set the house on fire. Like, no, you give me one of those, we're done.
Definitely. The sound of
the bit where they're all coming out the drain was when I would have set it on fire. Like,
yeah, see, that's what I was saying earlier. And you had to go in there surviving with your there's a U bend fucking
exactly.
Story.
So if those fuckers are surviving coming through that war, the fucking house is going to fire.
So the sound of the spider being crushed by John Goodman was made by one of the artists crushing some potato chips together. There you go. I thought that was interesting. When dead spiders were required, the filmmakers used bodies of arachnids that had died of natural causes. And this is another one of the reasons that I really enjoy this film, because everything, all the dead creatures were either just fake prosthetics or things that had died of natural causes. They didn't harm any of the animals that were used in this film, which I feel like
probably been eaten by other spiders basically.
Oh, maybe, yeah, but I feel like very much like, you know, in the 80s as well, like there's a whole slew of films that didn't really give a fuck about what happened to the animals on set. So I find it really nice that they took care of all the animals in this film.
Say no, it was 1990, so yeah. That was when all that animal cruelty thing came about, because before that everyone was like, we don't care, test on anything.
Yeah.
As long as it's not human, you know what I mean? And it was around about the 90s when it was like, we really don't need rabbits for cosmetics and all that, you know?
Yeah.
Stark contrast to Cannibal Holocaust, where they absolutely killed every fucking animal they got their hands on.
Oh, yeah. That is a movie I refuse to cover. We're never covering that movie. I just...
Good on you.
Not even entertaining that film. The live spiders were housed separately in a temperature-controlled area. Since spiders can't be trained, an entomologist had to devise other means to guide the spiders in the film to move in the way they wanted. So they used things like vibrating wires because the spiders wouldn't cross over them. They used lemon pledge furniture wax because the spiders wouldn't walk on them. And the spider wranglers actually took the time to train all of the actors on how to handle the spiders so that they wouldn't harm them. So just to sort of add on to that fact as well, like they really were taking care of the animals. During an interview with GQ magazine, John Goodman let it slip. You know, that scene, that first scene where he sort of shows up in his truck. Steven Spielberg, who's also one of the producers, he actually sat in the passenger side footwell out of view of the camera and said to John Goodman, "Only we will know that I was here."
Not because he's a fucking blubber mouth.
And I find that hilarious.
The thing is, he blobbed, so everyone fucking knows that.
Oh yeah, that's the point.
It's not the point. It would be funnier if it was a joke between them.
Yeah. In several of the scenes where a spider is either stepped on or a book is falling on them, for example, they would cut a hole cushioned.
Yeah, hollowed out. I like that. Yeah,
with foam rubber into the shoe or the book or whatever, which would allow space to protect the spiders. And then scenes were shot in cuts and edited. So again, really taking care of the animals. And as I said earlier, all the dead animals seen on the spiders' webs and in various scenes, they're all completely fake. Is there any other pieces of trivia that you guys happen to have off the top of your head? I know I never ask you guys to check it out, but just in case.
Not off the top of my head with this one, no.
No. Awesome. Well, that's all I have. So I think there were some actually interesting pieces of trivia there for once. Sometimes we do these films and it's like, well, we can talk about this for 45 seconds and then we'll move on. But we shall move on now to our next segment, and we're going to talk about the ratings and the reviews.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
As always, we'll start off with the critics' scores. IMDb scored this movie a 6.4 out of 10. Metacritic.
Really? I thought that would have been lower by them, because they don't like movies like this.
Mm, well, there you go, a 6.4. Metacritic scored it 6.7. Let's have a little game, guys. What do you guys think the Rotten Tomatoes critics scored this movie, Nico?
Rotten Tomatoes audience will love it. Okay. So I'd say that's an 8.
From the but what the critics?
The critics, I'm not sure. Probably a 5.
So you're thinking like 50% from the critics?
Sorry, 50 and 8.
Okay, Sean, what do you think?
I'm gonna say it's probably opposite. This seems like the type of movie that like Siskel and Ebert would really like, because it's funny and it's kind of got that homely aspect. So I'm gonna say 70% from the critics and maybe 50% from the audience.
Well, Nico, I can tell you, you're completely wrong, and Sean is pretty much completely right. The Rotten Tomatoes audience scored this movie 54%. The Rotten Tomatoes critics, though, scored this movie 93% fresh.
Oh, wow.
Which is high. That's super high. I didn't think it was going to be that high, but critics' consensus, Arachnophobia may not deliver genuine chills, but it's an affectionate, solidly built tribute to Hollywood classics' creature features, which I kind of agree with. Yeah. For once, I actually agree with the Rotten Tomatoes critics. We always throw it out to you guys, the listeners, so here are some of your opinions. GamerGeek26 says, "Hate spiders, but I love this classic, 8.5. Movies for Days says gives it a 7, a rare flick that aims for family-friendly horror and hits the mark. Ryan Brewer, "The part of me that wants to be fair says it's an easy 10 out of 10 as a horror film. The side of me that's deathly afraid of spiders says it's a minus 1,000 because fuck spiders." CK is killing it. Gives it an 8. It gives it 8 hairy, long, shit-your-pants, scary legs out of 10. I hate spiders. Cause of Death says an 8 or a 9. Not super scary, but certainly a classic. Brian Time Brian, movie scale gives it a movie scale 4, effectiveness of causing me to fear spiders from an early age 11, and the You Run podcast says 6 or 7. It has dated badly. So a little bit of a mix there, but everyone sort of in a similar ballpark. But on average, you guys, our listeners, scored this movie a 7.7 out of 10. And that just leaves us to give our ratings. So, Nico, you, as always, get the honours of going first. What are you going to score Arachnophobia?
I'll give it a 6.57. I'm not sure yet. I'll give it a 7.
Please pick one. A 7.
I'll give it a 7.
Okay, thank you.
Because the thing is, I don't find this scary at all. And the thing is, I've always been the view of, if you see the spider, it's going to bite you. Whilst if you don't see the fucking spider, that's when you're probably going to get bitten. So it's not scary.
Okay. Sean, what will you score Arachnophobia?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nico. I'm going to give it a 7. Nice. Nostalgia would have made me rate this higher, but it felt different this time around.
Okay. That's fair.
See, I was the opposite. Nostalgia, I would have rated it lower, because what I remembered it being a lot worse than what it was. And rewatching it, like, if you'd asked me without watching the movie, I'm like, oh, it's probably about a 5 or something. Because I remember it being a lot worse. I remember it not being as funny as it was. I remember it, you know, there wasn't that much tension in it at all. But no, it's absolutely decent.
Yeah. Yeah, see, it's kind of the opposite for me. I remembered it a lot funnier and a lot more, I don't want to say scary, but just kind of traumatizing when I was younger.
Yeah. That's cool. For once, I'm going to be the most generous on this show. Nico will tell everyone that I'm by far the harshest critic on this podcast, but I'm going to go just that little bit higher than you guys, and I'm going to give it a 7.5. I think this kind of has a little bit of everything, because I do think it does have still, I know we're talking about it being kind of more comedy than horror, but I do think it's got some genuinely tense and scary moments. It's funny. It you know, for me, I think it has aged well. I think some of the special effects are really good. I think it kind of has a little bit of everything, but without reaching those real sort of upper echelon of scores in horror movies. So a 7.5 for me.
I think it's a PG for a reason. I think this is built for kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think it's one of those ones you can watch with your kid and, you know, it's not going to terrify them that much.
Yeah. And that's kind of in fitting with what a lot of our listeners were saying as well, because most of them were giving it sort of between 6s and 8s. So I think this seems to be the kind of movie that just kind of unites everyone, that, you know, this maybe isn't the best, but this is a decent film.
Yeah.
So, but all of our scores combined with the critic scores gives Arachnophobia an average score of 7.1 out of 10, means it is tied for 13th place on our leaderboard of now 32 horror movies with the exact same score as the original Child's Play.
Not far off then.
You're pretty much bang on, to be honest,
yeah,
Nico.
You got
you're
that.
Pretty much bang on. For once, because usually you're way fucking out.
Yeah.
Apart from last week, because we did Lost Boys the Tribe last week, and we all knew that shit was hitting bottom of the table.
Oh, Jesus. That was awful.
But yeah.
I think the show should come with a warning. Every single show from now on should come with a warning. Never watch Lost Boys the Tribe. Like, just every week we've got to say it.
I can tell you with all honesty, I've never seen it. And now that I've listened to the episode, I've never wanted to not see it more.
Exactly, that's the thing.
Yes,
because what we've inadvertently done, Nico, though, is we've brought awareness of the movie. We've inadvertently assisted the movie. Anyways, yes, I think that's a perfectly good place for the movie. I think that's about where I pictured it having, and it's about where I pictured it sort of being. In that, maybe not in quite in that like top third, but in like the top half of that second third. So
this is the marijuana of horror movies.
So we go on to our bad Letterboxd reviews, where I troll the movie review site Letterboxd for some of the wackier and maybe slightly mildly more amusing anecdotal reviews of the film. So the first movie I ever saw in theaters, thanks Dad, but Dad is in quotations, so
whoa.
So that's I don't know, is that a you're not my real dad moment?
The better left unsaid.
Maybe she was just calling him daddy.
This next person, I don't know if this one was written by you, Nico. It's really hard to sympathize with people who are afraid of spiders.
Yeah, I like, totally agree with that.
I did have a nightmare about spiders getting caught in my hair. So props for that, I guess. And then in brackets, I'm bald.
See, I've got a full head of hair and I've never really been that fussed about shit getting caught in my hair.
Fair. You have a lot of hair. You're a hairy human.
I am, yeah.
My 7th grade science teacher had us watch this in class. It scared the shit out of me. It wasn't a good school. One star for John and another star for Goodman. And finally, how about a crapnophobia? I know you like you like a pun, Nico.
Yeah.
That was awful, though.
Hey, Ian.
Yes.
So as you know, we do shitty reviews on our podcast as well. I've grabbed a couple. Do you mind if I throw a couple in real quick?
Fire away.
All right. These are all one-star reviews. I grabbed these from Rotten Tomatoes. Goodman good, movie bad. This person says, why did I watch this? One-star review from Joey. Hate spiders? Don't watch this. Actually, don't watch this at all.
Because just one don't watch this wasn't enough.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm not being a dick. If you're terrified of spiders, this would be the ultimate horror movie for you.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And last but not least, homie, don't do spiders.
That's fair. That's fair. If you don't fuck with spiders, then I have all respect for you. But Sean.
Yes.
How much do you know about horror?
Hello, Amanda. I want to play a game.
Oh, man. I have never watched a horror movie a day in my life.
So, yeah, you go to work now, do you?
I do. My boss is calling. I gotta go.
So, this is the Pod of the Damned Trivia Challenge, where we challenge all of our guests to a 15-question general knowledge horror general knowledge trivia challenge. So basically how it's going to go, Sean, is I will give you your 15 questions. You can pass on a question if you're not sure, and I will come back to it one more time once I've answered all 15. I won't give you the answers after you answer the question. I'll save all those for once we've done all the questions, but I must take your first answer as well.
Is there a record for the amount of passes?
I'm relatively confident that was probably me, because I passed on quite a lot
and then fluked the answers at the end. I think he was looking them up, you know.
Looking them up. I was waiting for you to come with that accusation. That's been 3 weeks, Nico.
Anyway. I was holding it back till now.
Oh, was you? But okay,
genuinely, don't worry about time, just go for answers is the best idea.
Yeah, we do time them, but that's more just of a tiebreaker thing. It's all about just getting the points out. So currently, we've got Mac at the bottom of the leaderboard with a 4, and last week's guest, Boomer, currently sits atop of the leaderboard with a 9. So that's all where right. We're at. Okay, so are you ready?
I got to get 4, right?
You've got to get 4.
All right, I just want to preface, I have a mental deficiency called idiot.
That's funny. Nico, you have that too.
Oh no, I've got shit sits. When there's a timer involved, it kicks in. So my shit sits.
You did
basically hits the wall.
You did shit it.
Yeah, anyways. my shit sit hits the wall.
Are you ready, Sean?
I'm ready to get cancelled.
Okay.
Let's go.
Your time starts now. Which movie has the tagline "Man is such a warm place to hide"?
Alien.
In what year was the movie Silver Bullet released?
Pass.
Chad Michael Murray, Paris Hilton, Alicia Cuthbert, and Jared Padalecki all star in which mid-2000s remake?
House of Wax.
What is the credited name of the demon in the movie Drag Me to Hell?
Pass.
In which country is the 2007 found footage movie Wreck set?
Pass.
Who directed the Hills Have Eyes remake?
Pass.
In which U.S. state does The Shining take place?
Colorado.
Danny, Christian, Pelle, Josh, Mark, and Connie are all characters from which 2019 horror movie?
Pass.
In the movie Cube, all the characters that are trapped are named after what type of institutional setting?
Pass.
As of today, how many Hellraiser movies have been released?
Oh, fuck. Eight.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work is a quote from which horror movie?
Devil's Rejects.
Which upcoming movie directed by Scott Derrickson also stars Ethan Hawke and is scheduled for release in June of this year?
Oh, shit. Black Phone.
Which actor replaced Robert Englund in the role of Freddy Krueger for the 2010 remake of A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Jackie Earle Haley.
What was the name of the dog in Friday the 13th Part 2?
Shit.
Is that your answer?
God, no. Bonnie.
Split, The Sixth Sense, Signs, The Village, and Old were all made by which director?
M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay, let's go back to your passes. In which year was the movie Silver Bullet released?
I'm going to say 1983.
Okay. What is the credited name of the demon in the movie Drag Me to Hell?
Oh, fuck. Beelzebub. I have no idea. I haven't seen that in so long.
In which country is the 2007 found footage movie Wreck set?
Ireland.
Who directed the Hills Have Eyes remake?
Fuck, I have no idea.
That's fine. Danny, Christian, Pelle, Josh, Mark, and Connie are all characters from which 2019 horror movie?
Midsummer.
In the movie Cube, all the characters that are trapped are named after what type of institutional setting?
Mental institution.
And that is it. You have answered all 15 questions. How do you think you did?
Oh, God. I know, like, maybe four or five I got.
Okay. Nico, how do you think you did?
I think that's the hardest quiz you've done so far.
You think that's the hardest one?
Thanks. Thanks a lot, yeah. Guys. Appreciate it.
Because, like, I reckon it's prisons because of the whole prison break thing. That's the only reason I think I know that one.
Okay. Well, let's get into it. We'll go through the questions.
And everything else I'm a bit, like, ropey about.
Okay. Well, your time was 4 minutes 18 seconds, which is one of the faster times, I must say. I think that we've only ever had actually Nico, you're the only person that had a faster time than that, so everyone
really?
Else has taken longer. So anyways, number one, which movie has the tagline "Man is such a warm place to hide"? You said Alien. Nico, what do you think?
Fuck knows. I would have guessed the Alien as well, but it's nothing else.
It's The Thing. It's John Carpenter's The Thing. Question two. In what year was the movie Silver Bullet released? Sean, you said 1983. Nico?
I have no idea. I would have said about 85. 85, sorry.
85 was right.
Yeah.
85 was the right answer. So that's not for two. Question three. Chad Michael Murray, Paris Hilton, Alicia Cuthbert, and Jared Padalecki all star in which mid-2000s remake? You said House of Wax, Nico.
That's right, yeah.
That is right, yes. You're off the mark. You're up and running.
Yay.
Question four. What is the credited name of the demon in the movie Drag Me to Hell? You said Beelzebub. Nico?
I had no idea.
It's Lamia. That was a hard one. I did. That was one that I was like, oh, well, I'll put that one in. And I thought, yeah, fuck it. Question five. In which country is the 2007 found footage movie Wreck set? You said Ireland, Nico.
Is it not Spain?
It is. It's Spain.
Yeah.
Spanish movie. Question number six. Who directed the Hills Have Eyes remake? I think you just passed on this one altogether. Do you have any ideas, Nico?
I always say his name wrong. Alexander.
Yeah, you're right. Alexander, yeah. Aja.
Aja. I always say Aja or something like that, but yeah.
Well, I would have accepted that. But then, so not the best start, but this is kind of where you kicked things into gear, Sean. So question seven, in which US state does The Shining take place? You said Colorado. That is correct.
That's right, yeah.
Yep. Danny, Christian, Pelly, Josh, Mark, and Connie are all characters from which 2019 horror movie? You said Midsommar. That is correct.
Yeah.
In the movie Cube, all the characters that are trapped are named after which institutional settings? Nico, you're right on that one. It was prisons.
That's only because of Prison Break, because it went worse than all that shit.
Question number 10. As of today, how many Hellraiser movies have been released? I put this on purpose just to try and trip you up a little bit, Sean, because obviously... You know, we talked about this last week. You said 8, it's 10. There are 10 movies. Question number 11. I am the devil and I am here to do the devil's work is a quote from which horror movie? You said The Devil's Rejects. That is correct. Which upcoming movie directed by Scott Derrickson also stars Ethan Hawke and is scheduled for a release in June of this year? You said The Black Phone. That is correct.
Which I didn't know that one. Yeah, so well done.
It looks quite good, actually. Which actor replaced Robert Englund in the role of Freddy Krueger for the 2010 remake of A Nightmare on Elm Street? You said Jackie Earl Haley. That is correct. What is the name of the dog in the Friday the 13th Part 2? I was just going to say you said shit.
But you gave
the answer Bonnie. Nico, do you know this one?
No.
No, it's Muffin.
Muffin.
It was Muffin. And finally, Split, The Sixth Sense, Signs, The Village, and Old were all made by which director? You said M. Night Shyamalan, and that is also correct. So a really strong finish to the round there. Let me just calculate your score.
I genuinely do think that was the hardest one.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, Nico, you can make next week's one then.
No, it's fine. I'm just saying out of all of them I've been listening to, that one...
Fucking thought, Nico.
But you're gonna have one that was the hardest and one that was the easiest. So, yeah,
that's the nature of these things. But overall, Sean, you can be fairly happy with yourself. You scored 7 out of 15.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I didn't think I'd do that well.
You're slap bang. You got the exact same score as one of your co-hosts, David, but you did it in a quicker time.
So you can hold that
over David.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got the House of Wax one right, and I got the Thing wrong, so...
Thing one wrong as well. I never even thought of that. I'm like, what lives in human bodies? Only thing I thought of was alien like you.
Maybe yeah. I'll just... I've got a feeling there was maybe some audio issues with that first question. I might just have to cut it.
Yeah, my internet was kind of going out, so...
Awesome, but no, a perfectly respectable score. Thank you for taking part, Sean. And that is going to do it for this week's show. Sean, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've been dying to get you on the show for such a long time, and I'm really happy that we've been able to do it.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Do you want to just plug your socials, plug your show again for me?
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram, Shaun of the Dead, and you can find the podcast, The House That Screams, on all podcasting platforms, and you can find us on Twitter at @House_Screams, and on all other social... God, I can't talk. On On all other social media platforms at The House That Screams.
Awesome. Nico, have you remembered since the start of the episode where people can find you?
No, but I'm saying he's the first one to get away with not being asked the main question on the show.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Nico. Okay. I know the answer. Sean, how do you feel about Dr. Sleep?
I like it.
And like it question two, how do you feel about the Child's Play remake?
I've never seen it.
Excellent. Keep it that way, trust me.
Oh, shut the fuck up, Nico. And we're just going to leave it at that, right? Right, Nico? We're just going to leave it at that, aren't we?
What? We're not asking everyone anymore, no.
Oh, apparently you are.
Do you want to know why I've never seen it?
You go ahead.
Because I think the doll looks like shit.
The doll does look like Nico. When we covered the movie, I admitted that the doll looked like shit.
Yeah.
That wasn't a point. All I was saying was, I understand, right, why people have a thing against it, because, you know, they went against Don Mancini and they didn't get back any of the original cast and all of that, you know, all of that stuff aside. The movie itself, taking it in isolation, is better than what people give it credit for.
As I've always said, if you can fuck up Mark Hamill doing a voiceover, there's something wrong with your movie.
Well, I don't think they fucked it up, so. Anyways.
I do.
I know you do. We've been arguing about this for 8 months. Sean, I literally went on a friend of the show's podcast, Hoping You Run podcast, and the first thing he said to me when we went live was, I've never known a podcast where the two hosts argue quite as much as used to. And I have to sometimes put out disclaimers now that we are actually friends outside of the show.
It brings a great dynamic, though. It's like a married couple.
It does. Anyways. You can find all that just from me asking you, Nico, where people can find you on the podcast, on the socials. And you can find him at Nico22Ross on Twitter. You can find this show at Damned Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Podcast of the Damned. Next week on the show, we are starting a new series of episodes. We're going to be talking about our top 10s, and we're kicking things off with our top 10 80s horror movies. Nico, I know your number one spot is already filled out. My number one spot's already filled out. Sean, what's your number one 80s horror movie?
Oh, Return of the Living Dead.
There you go. I knew the answer before I asked the question. So stay tuned for that. We're also going to reveal the critics' and the listeners' top 10s as well. I did a little bit of background research a couple of months ago, and I've compiled a massive list of horror movies from the 80s as well. So stay tuned for that. Thank you, Nico, for joining me as well.
Thanks for letting me on again. Ben.
Yeah, well, you're on thin ice, my friend.
Hey, as long as they keep saying my one, I'm fine.
Yeah, I thought so. But yes, thank you, Nico, once again. Thank you to you, Sean, for coming on. Thank you to everyone for downloading and listening listening to this show. And until next week, remember, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.